This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to this Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you by our friends with the Innovated Companies. The Innovated Construction arm underneath the Innovated Companies umbrella brings you the show each and every week. They handle new construction, project planning, and consulting. They do all three of the big ones, residential, commercial, and industrial. Land development projects, design build projects, new home construction, remodeling, excavating, anything you would need across the construction platform. Make sure you give Randy and Stephanie an opportunity for your business. They're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. They have 35 plus years experience. Randy, on top of being a second generation craftsman, is an unbelievable human being and deserves an opportunity for your business. Please give him an opportunity. InnovatedCompanies.com. Well, let's welcome back into the studio a man who I feel like it's been gone forever. I don't know when's the last time you were here. I don't know. But let's welcome in Steve-O.
Jimbo, I notice that you're wearing your St. Louis Blues colors, as am I. So I assume with the, just waiting for information to come out of the winter meetings for baseball, we're going to talk some Blues hockey, right?
No, absolutely not.
Has there anything been happening?
I just spent an hour talking Blues hockey with two former Blues for the Blues NHL podcast. If you want to check that one out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. But I'm completely in Cardinal red mode right now.
Why is that?
What do you mean, why?
I mean, the off seasons are so boring.
Yeah, it's boring.
Nothing ever happens. Why are you so excited today?
Well, let me tell you. Okay, I've got multiple reasons why I'm excited. And at least of all, and not in any particular order, is that we also, as we do each and every show on the m4byyachty.com hotline, have my friend and yours and everybody's friend, your favorite Cardinal fan, one Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how are you guys doing over there, Steve-O? Hey, welcome back, buddy. Nice vacation, huh?
Yeah, vacation. We take a lot of what we call in-office vacations.
Yeah.
So I might be present, just not working.
All right. Well, let me tell you. The reality of it is, there's a lot going on. And I'm just being completely honest with you. If you're a Cardinal fan and you're not excited right now about your team, then I don't know what to tell you. I've told some people, and I really don't care if you don't like it. If you are not excited about what your team is trying to do, then you're a complainer, and you complain to complain. Now, I took some heat because I was unhappy with their signings Monday. I took some big heat. I don't know at what point lost in translation was the fact that I still don't like them. That we signed two guys for roles that we need on the team, and I think we could have done better, plain and simple. That didn't mean I was giving up on the offseason. I just think whether you like it or not, those are two roles that are important on the team, whether that be your quote-unquote fifth starter or your sixth starter that could be long. I don't care what it is. When you have a 25-man roster and you've missed the playoffs the last 2 years, okay, and you have a Cubs team that has won a World Series, you have all these other teams that are loaded with talent, every position on your 25-man roster is vitally important. I felt like there were – and listen, it's this simple – and you can't argue this, I'm sorry. There were better options, free agent-wise, than what we signed. So, yes, I was unhappy because those, to me, were same old Cardinal dumpster dives. Let's face it. I'm sorry. I don't care what anybody says. Look at Luke Gregerson. I don't care whether you like him or not. I don't hate him. Everybody thinks I hate him. It's not that I don't like Luke Gregerson. I think he's on the decline, but not only that, again, you could have signed guys that I think were better. They just cost more money. I mean, look at what these guys are getting. Nicasio got $17 million to be a setup guy. You know, all these guys, you know, what Brian Shaw get, all these guys are getting this money. And it's just clear that, you know, the Cardinals saw an opportunity to get a guy that they felt could handle that role for, you know, half to two-thirds of the money that these guys are getting. That's it. And that's all I meant. I wanted more proven guys. Now, let's fast forward. Okay? I have said since day one to people that have ripped me because, you know, and what I don't understand, and Steve and Benji, you can say, vouch for me, do whatever you want here. I have called the front office out since day one on this show. They have not addressed this roster. God, why do I say that all the time? They have not addressed the roster properly in the last 4 years. It isn't just something that started. This started in 2012. It has declined every year. So they put themselves in this position both on the field and at the cash register. I have said that this year feels different. Now, can you tell me, Benji, that it doesn't feel different to you?
Well, it feels different right now when we got going, you know. The first time I'm with you, you know, I don't hate on those guys. I don't hate on those two guys. It's just that it, for a fan, for us, for, you know, St. Louis, it didn't feel like it was the right move. You didn't feel those guys were right. And let me tell you, I hope they do well and they help us out next year. I really do. But I really, they could have gone that money. They could have signed somebody else that's probably going to have, do you want me, Gregerson, in the eighth or ninth or something, or to close? I mean, you want Nicholas to be that guy that we need that game against the Cubs on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday night baseball against the Cubs? And then do you want that guy there?
I mean, now we do because he has to be the guy. He has to. He got paid to be the guy now. But I'm with you, man. I don't know. I think you should be excited if you're a Cardinal fan because we see things happening. And I hope they don't stop there either because we need more help. And they, I know. I think they know it. They know it. They're gonna do some well. You know, they know it. I hope. I just hope there's not just anybody and they get the right guys, man.
Well, I mean, I think they started. I mean, I'll start with you, Steve. Of all the I don't even want to talk about Stanton anymore. The bottom line is he's not an option. So with him not being an option and stop short of Manny Machado coming to town, is Ozuna the right guy?
I've liked Ozuna, but when you talk about does it feel different? Here's my frustration level. Is that the Cardinals have been around for 130 years, whatever it's been. I forget what the number is.
That's a great guess. It's, I have no idea. I can Google it on the old Google box.
Look at that up on your computer box. Well, they just have their – anyway, long story longer. They've been around forever. They've been competitive in every decade, basically, right? So why does – average Cardinal fan think that this organization isn't about being competitive and trying to win World Series? My point being is, yeah, we've had it, it feels different because we're having some success, but why don't we just trust that our team, the team that we love, is trying to win? Okay, we're not other teams out there that you can probably look at and say, you know what, this team is really just a major league team. They're not a world champion major league organization. We always try to win. Now, do you trust that maybe a couple years ago that DeWitt looked at it and said, hey, you know what? We're going to slow our roll. We're going to see if we can't steal a couple guys in the offseason. We're going to make some long shot bets to see if they work out. And if they work out, great. But maybe we're waiting on that billion-dollar Fox Sports contract. I mean,
well,
for me, I got to trust them.
Yeah, you know, Steve, you know, with what you're saying right now, too, we don't know if they took a year or two off. You know, they do that. I mean, that's not a secret. That's not a, look at a bunch of teams. They don't care if they go to their playoff as long as they make money, right? So we don't know if the Cardinals took a few years off and then
went hard at it. You know, we went to the World Series 2013. So it's kind of hard to think that we went to the World Series and all of a sudden in 2014, 2015, everything went down. You know, that's what happened, but it's hard to think that way with the Cardinals. So they need it. And when we were discussing this in the earlier shows, they need to step up. They need to show the people, hey, listen, we're thankful for you guys showing up every day. We're thankful for your cheering, for your, you know, the fan base. We're thankful for you, and we're going to do whatever it takes to get this team better because we cannot handle Cubs winning. Now Milwaukee over us. I mean, come on, man. You know, I know and I respect the Milwaukee because they had a good team, but come on. The Milwaukee over us, we finished third. Come on, they know that. They don't want that. So hopefully they do the right move, right? I mean, that's what we're waiting on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But don't you, BMO, don't you have to trust that this organization with their history, just like we're going to talk about Ozuna, is Ozuna 2017 what he is or is he something different? Isn't the Cardinals who we think they are, aren't they a competitive franchise that they're always going to try to put a winning team and a world championship team on the field and trust the process? I get it gives us something to talk about. So when you talk about, yes, is this feel different? It feels different because we're having success, but I'm not sure it's different from what they've always tried to do throughout the history of the organization is trying to build championship teams. So, you know, I'm glad they're having success, and I'm fired up about it, and I'm looking for that next two or three shoes to drop because I don't think they're done yet, Jim.
I'm with you. I'm with you, man. I think you have to trust them because they've been doing so well. It's just that, like, that the last couple of years has been really rough on the team, and it doesn't look like they went out and got that guy to win with young guys. That's what it looks to me. So most of them were young and all that stuff. So, but yeah, you got to trust them. They've done it right. You know, they've done it right in the past. So we'll see what happens.
Right. And I could almost see, and I'll almost conspiracy theory this one. You got Ozuna signed for 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Yachty on another three. Is this something that they're saying, hey, over the next 2 years, we're going to try to win another world championship? Short term. We're going to go all in to win a world championship in the next 2 years to send our number four out on a high note, right?
I still believe that if they go out and sign Wade Davis or a Greg Holland or trade for bullpen help, that's what's going to tell me. I know we might need another bat, but I'm happy with Ozuna because remember, guys, we lost a lot of games, like more than 30 or 35 games. After six, after seven, when we were winning. So that tells you we were still on the top with the lineup we had. So and now you add Ozuna, I mean, counting on everybody having a good, the same type of year they had, you know, and helping. Now you add Ozuna into the occasion. I'm going to tell you what. The only thing that worries me is Lynn being gone, and we need a starter. But if we can get that bullpen help, It would be really interesting to see at the end, man, because we're going to win some games. I just hope they feel that way. You know what I mean? I hope they feel that same way, that we need help in the bullpen. And I hope they don't believe that Gregerson is going to be their guy.
Well, you're bringing it.
Well, you want to go to the World Series, right?
Yeah,
you
mean,
you got to go get the freaking guys.
No, I mean, yeah,
you got to go after the top guys, man. That's
well, let me say this. What I mean by that is just saying that makes me cringe. And again, I'm going to go back to my defense of the front office in this offseason. Okay, as unhappy as I was about it, I cannot believe for 1 minute that I'm not even going to put a 24 or a 48 hour time frame on this. I have a hard time believing that by time we get this, I mean, you would have to believe that even if things slow down because of the Machado thing puts a wrench in the whole thing. This is not something they have to do. This is something that could drag out, which affects other deals. You know, you ask yourself, why are Wade Davis and Greg Holland not signed yet? Colome obviously plays a large role in that because he's tradable and he's controllable. Who wouldn't want that? So you understand the moving parts in this. I'm going to throw four names out there. And I'm going to tell you this as I sit here today. If one of these four names are not on the Cardinals this offseason, then they better have come up with something out of left field that I didn't see that can get it done. Because of these four names, you either have to have Colome, Davis, Holland, or Addison Reed. Addison Reed is the only guy left that hasn't been like a closer his whole career that I would feel comfortable coming to this season knowing I was going to give him the ball in the ninth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, but all the names that you said are legit. You know, they're good. You know, they can have the ball in the ninth, all those names. So it's up to them, and I hope they notice.
Well, and again, so that's kind of my point. Once you get by those guys, and again, a closer could emerge out of nowhere, and I get that. And you know, I had a lot of people go, Jim, some of these guys, I mean, Trevor Rosenthal didn't have any saves before the first time he saved a game, and so and so. That's right. That's all I said. People are on me, and I'm like, listen, I get that. And in other circumstances, you could do that. I don't think we can. We have missed the playoffs. We are falling behind. We need guys that we can feel good about. Now, nothing's 100%. I know that, too. We could sign Wade Davis, and he could blow his elbow out in spring training. I am aware of this. But I got to tell you, from a fan's perspective, I want to feel good about it.
At least they did it, right?
Yeah. I had a nice conversation with a guy last night and this morning about Manny Machado, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. The reality of it is this. I don't want to stand on the sidelines. I want to play. So I would rather us make an effort and try something and it not work out than us sit back and say what could have been. I'm sorry. That's how I am. I know that sometimes it's not even smart, but the reality of it is that's how I feel. I want to get back to Ozuna because he's the big fish, Benji. And the reality of it is you've loved Ozuna since day one. I had the opportunity to do a special edition with Craig Mish, and I don't know if people know, we actually did it before the trade. I asked him who he thought between Yelich and Ozuna would be the better fit for the Cardinals. And the reason I asked him that question was, we had done a poll and it seemed like, even though it wasn't like a landslide, people preferred Yelich. I think some of that was the contract, but some people think Yelich's upside's there and things like that. And, you know, I thought, okay, so I asked Grish, who obviously knows both of them, is around them, has covered them, has been there. He adamantly believes, and this was before the trade, that Ozuna was the guy for a variety of the reasons. One of them being, he's a fun guy. He's great with the media. He's great with his teammates. He's outwardly, like he wants to be on a, like he wants all this stuff. He says he doesn't get that vibe as much from Yelich. Not that there's anything wrong with him. But, you know, he's kind of a quiet guy. Don't see him around much. Don't do all this. I've maintained since day one. Yeah, the Cardinals could use a guy like Ozuna. Now that we have him, give us your thoughts.
Oh, I think it's one of the best signings for the Cardinals this offseason. I mean, not, obviously everybody wanted Stanton, but Stanton didn't want to come over here. But Stanton, it's obviously legit. But this guy's pretty close, man. He has a great year. The only thing that he didn't do more than Stanton was hitting those 59 home. I'm really excited for the signing. I really am. I love the signing. I can't wait. I know that, like you said, Jimbo, he might come up next year and not hit and be crappy. I mean, but in this time right now, it's a great signing. Think about the Angels when they signed Hamilton. Everybody thought that lineup was going to be sick. Trout, Pujols, Hamilton and all these guys all together. But what happened? Hamilton got hurt. He didn't want to be there. He acted up all crazy, whatever happened. But that could happen. I understand that. But you cannot blame the GMs and the team for getting Hamilton and paying that much. No, they're trying to get Hamilton to be the best so they can help him some. So when you get a guy in the trade, when you get a guy like this, like Ozuna, you're not hoping for him he's not going to be the same guy. No, the heck with that. When you trade for a guy like this, you're hoping for the same year or better. You guys, us guys, you know, we're forgetting that he's a gold glove guy, dude. He's a freaking gold glove. He's a every angle of a player, man. To win a gold glove, well, these days it's easy. But But anyways, he won it, you know. He did it. So if his production doesn't slow down, and if he's the same guy, and having him in the freaking clubhouse that is really quiet already, and this guy brings this energy in, and this, I mean, I'm telling you, I cannot wait. But we need help in the bullpen to close out games. That's my biggest worry. But I'm really excited for Osuna. I can't wait to see the lineup.
Steve-O, your thoughts?
Well, I'm with him. I mean, I think that being an athlete and not knowing, not knowing what a major league clubhouse is, I'm looking forward to the excitement that Osuna brings in, the fun that he has. I get it. It might not be what the conservative St. Louis gray-haired, folks like to see all the time, the fun-loving Latino players, but I love it. And I love the fact that how he interacts with some of our other players, even in the All-Star game from last year. And I hope that changes the perception maybe of the St. Louis fans out there as far as what our clubhouse is like. Because we've heard now for several years that the clubhouse might be an issue.
Yeah, Yadi loved him, man.
Yeah, there's a picture rolling around on the internet, I guess, of them at the All-Star game, Ozuna, Yadi, and Martinez. It comes out
and
later.
Colomer.
What's that? Yeah, Colomer.
And Colomer.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. Was that who it was?
Yeah, I thought it was
Ozuna.
I thought it was
Ozuna.
Martinez.
Was it Martinez?
Martinez.
It was Martinez, Ozuna, and Yadi, right?
Yeah, that's who I thought
it
was. I just looked at it briefly.
All-Star team.
Yeah.
My point is, it's come out now that Ozuna was really close to Martinez and Oscar Tavares. I don't care who it is. If you trade for a guy that's got a year left on his contract or 2 years, okay, and again, I'll throw the Manny Machado thing into this as well. I don't care what you do. The bottom line is this, folks, and I've said it once and I'll say it again. Do the fans and the atmosphere here and how it's done and how it's operated, does that have something to do with the attraction to a player once they get here? Absolutely. I guarantee if you went back to all the players that came here that were going to be free agents and signed, they would tell you that played a role. They would be lying to you, though, if they didn't tell you in the same breath, but we were also really good, and I could see us being good for a while. So I promise you, if you build a team that is competitive around an Ozuna, or if you get a Machado and you build this team, you have a much better chance of signing him if you're good. If you go trade for Manny Machado, and I'm sorry, I love where we're headed with a lot of things, but the one thing that's irked me, and Steve and Benji, I'll get your thoughts on this, and I think there's a little smoke screen going on here, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but if this organization thinks we're okay in the starting rotation, that's got to be a smokescreen, because if you went and got these guys and don't look at your starting rotation and think, we better look at this, I think you're doing yourself a disservice, because at the end of the day, you have got to make sure you're good and have a legitimate shot if you have any chance, especially Machado, because it's 1 year. If you were to get him, you better make sure you're really good and showing him you're moving in the right direction. Benji, what do you think about the winning culture versus just the atmosphere?
I think winning culture will get people coming over here. But what I wanted to point out something you said, very important there, Jimbo. You were saying about our rotation.
Right.
Our rotation is okay. But are you going to win the World Series with the okay starting rotation? No. You got to have Grinky, you got to have a Kershaw, you got to have a Bellander, you got to have a Keiko, you got to have Arrieta, you got to have somebody. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a name guy put together with Carlos Martinez and a 1-2 punch. And I told you guys last time, go look at it. All the playoff teams that went deep in the playoff, all those teams that made the playoff, look at their starting rotation. They have a 1-2 punch. Do we have a 1-2 punch? So that tells you that we are okay, because those kids are good. I mean, we're okay, but are we going to win the World Series with the okay starting rotation? I don't think so. It has to be better than okay.
I mean, you're counting on some guys. I mean, Again, we're back to a lot of question marks. Now, can it be fine? Yes. Do we have these young pitchers on the cusp? We do. But again, I'm back to why do all this and then have one of the most important parts of your team be a big question mark? It doesn't sound right to me. And again, there may be some misdirection here. The reports are that they have asked about Chris Archer. So listen, I want Machado. I would love to have Manny Machado. I think if you're going to sign Manny Machado, if you have any chance, I think you got to get him here. But the truth of the matter is this. If you told me that I had to pick a trade and it was either get Manny Machado or get Colome and Chris Archer, I'd have to say Colome and Chris Archer are
Heck
a better
yeah.
trade for us right now.
Heck yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
we got that bat we wanted in the lineup. I mean, obviously, if you can add up a bat, I don't know. I mean, I think we're pretty set right now. I don't think they're going to add anybody else. I think they're going to go with what they have. And if they do, we'll be surprised. But I really, really do believe that one starter of name and one more reliever at least, you know, if not two, but two more players will get us over this freaking hump. It will get us to the World Series. I really do believe it. So if they think the same way I do, we're in good shape, but we just got to wait and see. But they need to do something.
You know, I'm just of the belief that number one, let's give kudos to the front office. We haven't talked about this yet. I said this yesterday, and a lot of people are in agreement with me. You have to feel good about their flexibility to get the things done they need to get done. Because while, listen, I mean, yeah, okay, Alcantara is looks like he's got all this talent. For sure. Who doesn't want to have a guy like that? Sierra looked like a nice player. But if that's all you really traded for him, you are still loaded with prospects, and you're loaded with money.
Yep. And with these kids, they have potential, Jimbo.
That's right.
We all know about that word, potential. I've seen many of them that they have the greatest potential in the world, and they don't make it. They don't do it. So how the heck do we know that? How the heck do we know that Harrison Bader is going to be better than Osuna? I mean, we don't know. So for us to be thinking that way, I mean, it's crazy. I think if you have the prospects and you can – improve your team, and that's one of your options, trading prospects, I won't hesitate. I mean, I love to have Alcantara. Yeah, I would love to have Sierra and see what he can do, but we already have some outfielder spots that they're great players for a couple more years. So if you have those guys, you can't be afraid of making trades, man. That's how you make your team better. You know, we've seen that, you know, with the Marlins. We've seen it. If we get Colome and Archer in any way, that'll be a trade. You gotta get rid of some prospects. Not that you want to. It's just that's the way it is. You know, to get better players, you gotta get rid of some. You know, and we gotta be successful at it.
Steve-O, one of the things about Osuna, and if I'm not mistaken, I think you followed him pretty close last year. I think you may have had him on your fantasy team, so you were pretty in tune with his numbers, if uh-huh. I'm not mistaken. So you saw him every day from a number standpoint, right?
Yeah.
So my question is this. A lot of fans look at those numbers. There's been a faction of fans that say it's an outlier. You know, it just – and I love this too. Like how come Colton Wong all of a sudden last year is who he is, but yet Osuna has a year like this, and now it's his career year. So the double standard always gets me, and I understand it. But let me say this. Here's my thing. Here's the one thing I want fans to understand. I think a lot of people are under the impression, well, what's he going to do without Stanton and Yelich? And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. He was the one protecting Yelich and Stanton, not the other way around. Okay? Osuna was doing the protecting. That's got to make you feel pretty good about knowing that you're – see, that's the thing. They're going to bring in a guy. Like, he's not a number two hitter or a number five hitter that they're going to bring in here and ask – to be a three or four hitter. He is a three or four hitter. I don't understand how...
Can I say something? Jimbo?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, even if Osuna has a slow year, not like last year, you're counting on this guy to hit 290. Okay? That's a slow year. You're counting on this guy to hit 25 home runs. All right, because he hit 34, I think, or something like that.
37, didn't he?
So, yeah, so you're counting on a low year of these kids having the 25 to 30 home runs, right? The low year. And you're counting on these guys to have 100 RBI because he had 137 or 34, whatever. So you're counting on these guys to be a low year, 290, 25 or 30, and 100 RBI. Name one guy that did that for us last year. Just one.
Nobody.
Right. And I think you
but
saw
that's
the.
That's what I'm trying to say.
You
but
saw the OPPs.
If he sticks around a little.
Yeah.
We're okay.
You saw the on-base percentage of the three
guys. Well,
that guys
was the other thing. That's
batted
what
in front
said.
Of him.
Oh, well, look at the guys
right.
that batted in front of him.
So
take a look at ours.
Ours are better. The slash lines on ours are better. So I think it goes back to another argument that we've had with Matt Carpenter. I hope somebody works with him on base running because that'll be important for those RBIs. But Ozuna's an RBI machine, okay? The 127 or 137. If he's got guys on base, there's guys that salivate when there's people on base in situations. There's guys that salivate when there's a runner on first base and he knows that he can get them scored with a gap shot or a bomb, okay?
He won't do that with one of our guys.
Oh, well, he's going to have to get a little bit better, for sure. We need Carpenter to be better. But when you talk about the Wong argument and the Ozuna is an outlier, it's whatever fits your narrative for your argument, Jim. That's, and you know that. And that's the issue
and
with
– And we have Okendo.
And you have Okendo.
Okendo's more aggressive on the bases. And you watch the difference on the third base coaches that we had a couple years and now Okendo coming back. You watch it. Just watch how many runs Okendo can get us extra runs by being smart on third base coach. Just watch, and you guys will tell me, okay?
Yeah, and that's the thing. We've talked about that. I was going to say this too. A lot of people talked about – nobody caught this about a week and a half ago. Everybody acted like – here I go again with the Matheny stuff. Everybody acted like these coaches were shoved down his throat. Did anybody see the article that talked about when they asked him about McGee coming back? Mozeliak said he was unaware. Matheny brought it to his attention that Willie might be interested in coming back full-time. It was Matheny that went to Mozeliak and said, hey, I think Willie's ready. Let's talk to Willie about bringing him on. So that narrative doesn't work like they're being you know what I'm saying? You're right. The narrative has to fit what your argument is. And again, we're back to the Matheny thing. I'll be quite honest with you. I don't care if a monkey coaches the team. I really don't. I need
not
players.
Not if you get Colomi and Archer.
I need talent. I
right.
need players.
No,
I need my man.
You still need a coach. You still need a manager.
I know we need a
There's
coach.
There's no way.
Need a coach.
You need a manager, man. I mean, still, because some of those decisions that were made or are going to be made that kills the game or wins the game, those percentage that, remember we talk about that percentage of manager winning and stuff and losing the games, those things, we're going to have to need it. So we hope that Matheny puts his pants on very tight because if we get a good team, we better start winning,
Another move that was made, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that Ozuna's the guy. Ozuna is a plus for us. So let's move on. Steven Piscotty, the fans liked Steve, and he was a good Cardinal. He played hard. He did a lot of things. He was you couldn't complain. He had his struggles. Who knows how much the family thing played into it. The Cardinals did a solid here by getting him to Oakland close to home. I don't know, I was telling somebody yesterday, being close to home will obviously help, but, he's still going to be dealing with it, so we wish him nothing but success in Oakland, but, we pray for his family because it's not a good thing no matter how you look at it. The prospects we got back, while being lower level, they sure seem to be talented. I mean, I thought we might get held hostage a little bit here because of the situation, but the Cardinals didn't do bad there. But the bottom line is we created an opening to make some commitments to other people that we felt were better for the position, one of those guys being Tommy Pham. So, again, I say the same thing to people that want to say, well, how do we know this is who Ozuna is? Well, how do we know this is who Tommy Pham is? It's the same thing, right? So I'm good. Like, I'm really good. I'm happy for Steven Piscotty. He's going to go home and be close to his family so that he can, enjoy his mother for her remaining days, if that makes sense, I guess.
My follow-up to Benji, I would ask you a question, knowing, being around the bigs as long as you have. Is this something where the front office of the Cardinals and the, you know, does something for Oakland and says, hey, just remember us in the future? If we get into a situation where we're running for a pennant, we want a little extra consideration for maybe dumping one of your guys our way. How much talk is between general managers or you know, or organizations like that where it's kind of a, hey, I'm going to do you a solid, you know, not that they weren't helping us out, free up some space with taking Piscotty, but Piscotty, for all intents and purposes, a couple years ago, showed that he was a legitimate player. And to dump him, is there going to be consideration maybe in the future that Oakland might do us a favor?
Oh, heck yeah. That's the way things happen. I mean, there's a lot of communication with the GMs talking to each other and let them know. And I bet you, I'm not surprised if they would say something like you just said. Hey, listen, you know, remember this one, because next time we need a help, man, you know, we'll call you or Texas or whoever they talk to. So, yeah, it happens a lot, you know, and that's how trades happen. That's why sometimes you see teams trading to certain teams, and you're like, wow, they're only trading to that team. What the heck, man? Why can't they trade to somebody else? But it's because they're become friends, as, you know, as GMs or as owners or whatever, you know. So that happens, yeah, it happens a lot.
You know, I want to look at, you know, some of the stuff going on Twitter right now. Like, you know, it's happening fast and furious. Jen Langosch, who, if you are familiar with her, she covers the Cardinals. She was answering some questions on the Kevin Wheeler show. Kevin Wheeler, friend of the show. He's been on here before. Benji, I know you've been on his show. I love when things are going on behind the scenes. I had mentioned to fans that yesterday was one of the coolest things since I started doing the show that's ever happened to me. I was talking to Craig Mish. You know, he was just giving me some stuff that was, you know, that he felt was going on and things like that. And we were talking about some other things. And I mean, we are talking about a project we're talking about doing together. And he goes, I got to go. I'll call you back. Bye. And hung up on me. And I mean, literally a minute later, the tweet comes out that we traded for Ozuna. And then he texts me and says, I'm really sorry. I should have told you that, you know, in situations like this, if we're going to become friends, I have to do that sometimes to people when I'm on the phone. And I'm like, I get it. I understand it. I said I had a little fun with a tweet about it. But, you know, Jen Langosch, you know, these people kind of have an idea. Well, you know, yesterday Mo had to cancel a meeting. Or not a meeting, an interview, because he said, I got trade stuff going on. And then you find out 2 hours later, they've put an offer in on Machado. Well, now today, Jen Langosch tells Kevin Wheeler she was supposed to leave today at 1 o'clock. And she got word that the Cardinals have decided to stay at the meetings. And that they may have an announcement coming out later today. And that the fans would probably like to hear it. So she's going to go ahead and stay. So she's not coming home today. So I love those types of things. This is what I love. And it just seems like for a while the Cardinals haven't been involved in this. So I hope the fans are enjoying this. And I think they are. One of the things that tells me the fans are enjoying it is some of the questions that we're getting. So I want to take this time now to go to some of the questions that we've had. A lot of fans that have multiple things on their mind. You know, you get an opportunity to ask Benji. Obviously, Steve-O and I will throw our thoughts in if we feel like they're relevant. But the truth is, some of you guys want to get in on some of this conversation and get some thoughts from the former player. You know, before we do that, Benji, your thoughts on, like, some of the subtle things that go on behind the scenes at these winter meetings. Do you find it exciting at all being a former player, or do you think it's for the fans?
Well, depending on who sits there, right? You know, because the winter meetings are really, really exciting for a lot of GMs. For the ones that I know, they really, really love the winter meetings. And most of that thing is because they get to see the guy in person. They get to see the agents in person. They don't have to take a call, or, you know, they go out for lunch or whatever it is, and they can see each other there. It's easier to talk about where do you want to go, what you want, how much. and things like that. So I think the GMs, they love it. They love this time. As a player, you just love it when you are a free agent, because that way your agent is all over them and you know where, you know what's coming next. So you love it. But if you are a normal guy that's signed and everything, like Osuna or guys like that, you're like on guard because you don't know if you're going to be traded or, you know, things like that. So it's kind of weird, you know, all around.
All right, here's our first question. I'm going to go first because that way while you guys are giving your answers, I can be teeing up a couple more questions. This question from Josh Grant at JLGrant85. And, hey, thanks to you, Josh. You've been really back and forth with us on our social media this during this time, and we appreciate the fact that you're a supporter of the show, and we encourage you to let your friends know as well. He's got a great question. Who will be the best protection for Ozuna in the lineup? And then he put in parentheses, other than Machado. So my guess is maybe he's asking a two-part question here. Who would you like to see? And then maybe who they have now. So I'll go first. I think I've already stated, I think Ozuna is the protection. I think he's proven that he can hit fourth with just regular hitters hitting behind him. I mean, Real Muto, Jason Bohr, I mean, good hitters, not like stud hitters. So I think Ozuna's proven he can be the number four if you put him at number three. You got those guys sitting there, whether it be Fowler, Pham, or Carpenter. I think any one of those guys. If you go outside the organization, obviously you couldn't go wrong with a Manny Machado. Evan Longoria is a name that's been mentioned. I think I've stated on here, I'm not the biggest Longoria fan. If they got him, I wouldn't be upset. I mean, he's a proven guy that I don't think would if he hit behind Ozuna, he wouldn't be fazed by it. But outside of Machado and him, the guy, if it was on my wish list and we couldn't get Machado, and, you know, keep in mind now, you're being realistic, I still want to get Colome and Archer from Tampa, so I've only got so many prospects. If it's not Machado, then I like Josh Donaldson. But if it's in-house, believe it or not, it's Yachty or whoever, to be completely honest with you. Because, again, I think Ozuna has proven that he is the protection. Steve, I'll let you go, and then Benji, you go after him.
That's a tough one. I just think that you're going to have to see how things play out. I think there's going to be a little bit of flexibility. Is he going to be – ideally, I think what we're all penciling him in is probably in the four, right? Are we looking Carpenter, Fowler, Pham, and then Ozuna? You know, if you're looking at that way.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, or could it go just, you know, flip-flop Ozuna and Pham? Could be another one. I think I'd like to have Pham in front of him. I like Pham's speed. I like his aggressiveness on the base paths. I think Pham's the type of guy that, you know, all of a sudden you could get, you know, Carpenter doesn't do anything in the first inning, Fowler grounds out, you know, Pham gets a base hit, and I think Ozuna could put it in the gap and Pham could score. So from that angle, I'm not sure if I'm really concerned about protection, because I'm with you, Jim. I think Ozuna was the protection. You know, if they walk him, if they want to get around him, I don't think that's what we were looking for in a guy. I think we were looking for a guy to protect, to drive guys in is what we needed, not guys that get on base.
Benji, your thoughts?
I think that if you have Yachty behind him, it's the guy that people fear the most out of the whole club. If he hits fourth, if Ozuna hit fourth, Yachty has to be the fifth, unless you want to play it out with the righty-lefty deal. But anyways, if he hits Ozuna fourth, I would put Yachty in the fifth, just because Yachty is our clutch guy. 81 RBIs last year on the clutch. You know, he's been a clutch guy forever. So you want to have Joe Mana. He told me, Joe Mana, okay? He's the manager of the Cubs. And he told me he does not like to see Yachty with men on base. He hates to see Yachty. It doesn't matter if he's a starter or reliever from the bullpen, the closer, Wade Davis. He told me straight up to my face, I hate to see Yachty with the runners on base. So what does that tell you? That's your perfect guy to put behind the fourth batter, which in this case will be Ozuna. It's just because who else can protect Ozuna? If you put Wong in there, he's not a clutch guy. He's pitchable or something like that. Or if you put whoever, it's not going to be your clutch guy. They're going to pitch to him. They're going to walk a lot of Ozuna. But if you put Yachty behind him, believe me, they're not going to want to walk have to pitch to Yadi.
Right.
You know, with how good Yadi is with the clutch, you know. So I think Yadi's the best guy right now in our team. Yadi's the best.
And make no mistake about it, Benji, you hit it right, the nail right on the head there, that Yadi has that track record of being quote-unquote clutch. You know, we all try to define it. But if you think about it, how many times he's come up in a big pressure situation and he seems to rise to the occasion. You know, and we've talked about it with, you know, a lot of the home run hitters in the past, namely me getting on Holiday, where, you know, Holiday would get 30 home runs, 27 of them would be either up by 8 or down by 8, right? But Yadi seems to hit the clutch hit, home run. He has his fair share of double plays, but usually those aren't in too much of a clutch situation.
I'll take my double plays. I don't care. But if I get 81 RBIs out of him or 19 home runs or 280 to 290 average, I don't care. He can hit. He can break the record for double plays if he can do that at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's a fan thing, the double play or that. I mean, you know, we forget how many times they came through with two outs and things like that. It's like anything else. It's like walks. It's like anything else. When it happens in the moment, you go, here we go. But at the end of the day, you got to look at the stats across the board. Like, did they come through more than they didn't? Because let's face it, the game's really hard.
Yeah, the fans always forget the good and they remember the bad. So we know that, and I mean, not all of them, of course, but. But most of them, they do. So
us included. We do
smart,
it, you know.
But if you're a smart fan, you understand that he's going to help you more than he's going to hit for double play. So.
Good question. Here's a new one. This one will cover a couple people across the board because they all kind of blend together. This one is, obviously the flavor of the day. Why wouldn't it be? They're going to ask our opinion on this, and let's face it, it is just our opinion. But if the Cardinals found a way to add Archer, Colome, and Longoria without giving up Reyes, Weaver, or Jerko, would you do it? I'll go first. number one, I'm not as concerned about Jerko if you get Longoria, although it would be nice to have Jerko as your utility guy. So, yeah, I do like that. But if we had to give up Jerko to get that, I'm doing it. If I got to give up Weaver to do that, I'm doing it. Reyes is the guy I don't want to give up at the end of the day because, you know, if I got to give up Weaver to get Colome and Archer, basically, then I'm doing it. Okay, I'm sorry, but I've replaced Weaver now with a guy that I know I can count on. And again, I like Weaver. It's just, you got to be a little cautious there. If you're not, you're silly. And you get Colome, I would do that. Reyes is the one guy that I really don't want to trade, although I don't know that anybody's untradeable. So for me, if you're asking me if I would do this trade without Reyes, Weaver, or Jerko, I think I would. The one guy that gets mentioned that I don't want to trade is Dakota Hudson, but that's just me. Steve-O, what do you think of this?
I know you're a big Dakota Hudson fan. I mean,
I've heard so many things from people and not...
Are you going to call him Dak if he comes up?
Oh, I don't have any. I'm going to...
Are you a closet Dallas Cowboy fan?
Hopefully I'm going to call him Money.
I hope not.
I think I'll call him Dak. Maybe I'll start with that. Dakota's out. I'm going to go Dak.
No, I refuse to do that. So, Steve-O, your thoughts. Would you make that trade if it didn't include Reyes, Weaver, or Jerko?
Yeah, here's my plan, right? My plan is I'm trying to get my number four, my Yadi, my Hall of Famer, I'm trying to get him another world championship.
Well, I'm trying to get the organization another one.
Right, but what I'm saying is
I understand what you're saying. You've only got him for a couple
years. You got him for three more years.
Yeah.
I'm looking at... The window here as a 3-year window where I'm trying to really make a legitimate run at my 12th world championship. Okay, that's my window. So if it says that I can't have Sierra, who for all intents and purposes might be 2 years away from being a starter in the major leagues, then I'm doing it. If I'm getting a guy that I can win with this year, which we did. The same thing. Anybody in my organization on the lower level, I'm willing to move if I'm making a run at it in the next this 3-year window. So yes, because guess what I get next June 6th and 7th? I get more prospects.
Yeah.
Guess what I get when I go to move players when Yachty's retired or when Ozuna goes or if we want to trade him if we're not doing
players.
It. We get more prospects. We can get more potential. But what we don't have is major league ready proven guys right now. So I'll do anything to win in the next 3 years.
Benji, do you do this?
Yeah, I would do it. I mean, I need to have
to improve my team, because every year should be a year that you should try to go for the World Series. So if this gets my team better, I would do it.
You know, the key for me, and like when you read this thing, the key for me is on their end, I'm doing anything, just about anything I got to do to get Archer and Coloma. If I can get both of them, I'm doing just about anything. My choke point may be Reyes. Personally, it's Hudson. I don't know if it is for them. I know they're really high on Jordan Hicks. Maybe that's their choke point. I don't know. Reyes, you would have to assume. Puzzle, it does shock me how Reyes's name doesn't come up as much. You wonder if these other teams are sitting there going, well, you know, I don't know that we're that interested in him because he's coming off Tommy John. I mean, we'll go ahead and go with the younger guys. Could be.
That's what I was going to say.
You know.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he's coming from Tommy John. How do you know he's going to be right? They need to see him first. And if they see him okay, they see him the same guy, then they go after him.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. So, for me, the deal is Archer and Colome. If I can do any deal that doesn't involve Reyes, and for me personally, Hudson, and maybe Hicks, then I'm doing it. I'm with Steve-O. Everybody just about is on the table. So that's a great question from Will Kendall at 314 Redbirds. That one basically it kind of fits the same mold with Ryan Moses at @R_Moses2 as the follow-up to that then. So I think I kind of laid my cards out on the table. Who do I think is untouchable? I don't know if anybody's untouchable, because I tell you what, a guy made a great case last night for why wouldn't you if they wanted Reyes for Machado, why wouldn't you do it? A guy made a great case for it last night, and I'm like, holy cow, that does make sense. But for me, I mean, it hurts thinking about losing Reyes. Man, I really love Hudson, and from what I understand, this Hicks is legit too. But, man, I don't know. When you're in our position, is anybody untouchable? So that's a tough one for me. Steve-O, what about you? This gentleman wants to know, in your opinion, is anybody what prospect's untouchable for you? Anybody?
I don't think so. I think track record for the Tommy John surgery has shown that when you got a big, powerful pitcher, they come back just as good than what they've been in the couple years prior to Tommy John. You know, they're getting
not
new body
everybody,
parts.
Though.
Most people. I think you can go up and down a lineup and see that guys have come back and fared pretty good at the major league level. So, you know, they're getting new ligaments, everything like that. The only thing that I would hold off on making a move on Machado right now for anybody is the fact that it's a one-year deal and you don't know what you have yet. You get around the trade deadline, okay, and you're at that point where you think that player on the last couple months of his contract before he comes a free agent is a person you need, I'm moving anybody. But April's
opposite.
Too early for me.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
No.
Reyes in August for him or July. For 2 months? No way.
Absolutely.
I better get at least a year. Your thoughts?
You would know what you have, though, Jim. You would know where you're at in the situation as opposed to you don't know where you're at in April. What happens if you trade for him now? You got him for 1 year, and you get so many injuries, you start off slow.
Yeah, but you're trading for – the only reason you trade for him now is, one, he improves your team currently, and number two – in my opinion, you have to get him here if you have any hope of signing.
We've had track record after track record after track record of guys that we've gotten in on the trade deadline, big-name players that we've been able to sign because September baseball in St. Louis is better than anywhere else.
Okay. Benji, your thoughts?
I think the only guy that I would not touch is the Kelly Kitt from the catch, you know, being a catcher. From that point, I would not touch him. I would not trade him. And we're getting to the last 3 years of Yadi. I know he's doing really good. He's in good shape. He's having great years, even when he's older. But that would be my guy, just in case, you know. Hopefully nothing happened, of course. But I'm just saying that would be my guy, the only guy that I would not trade. But everybody else is in play.
Wow. That's interesting. I was actually going to ask you, maybe not at this juncture, if you felt like it would be better for Kelly to go down and then try to find a veteran backup.
Well, yeah, you need a veteran backup, but that's another question. Like, you want the kid to be prepared to play, and you are not going to have him in the backup role in the major leagues and be prepared. He's not going to be prepared, so you got to send him down and have him at least. Remember, we discussed this before. You got to have him at least 400 at bats a year and have him ready, you know. But ready doesn't mean he's going to be behind Yadi and play once every 2 weeks. That's not going to get it done. but you're still going to have to send him down and let him play, let him develop a little more, because it's only unless you have somebody that's behind Kelly that is a great catcher and is coming up in the organization and he's in A ball or Double A, then you think about doing any of that because you have that backup, you know. I'm just saying that in a way that, you know, Yadi's in the last 3 years, and that would be the guy. If that's your guy catching, I would not trade him. But like I said, everybody else in play. I think he needs to go catch, though. He needs to go play. He needs to keep those skills sharp, and he's not going to do it in the bench in the major leagues.
That question also will cover the same one that came in from Noah Schutz. Noah, I hope I pronounced your last name right, @_Schutzy, it looks like. So thank you very much. Last question for the day from Jay Henson, @JHensonWOPC. I like this question mainly because it gives us the opportunity to give our opinion, and let's face it, that's what it is. It's our opinion. We really have no idea, but I'm going to use some educated guesses here and take a look at this one, and then I'll let you guys go. Pretty simple, and I think, you know, we've already kind of talked about it a little bit. Should the Cardinals go after another big bat and get a pitcher, or just another bat? I'm going to agree a little bit with Benji here, something he said earlier. I'm going to flip-flop Jay's question, and it'll answer his question. If you can't have everything, although I feel like the Cardinals can have everything. I think they're in a position to have everything, and I hope they do. But if for some reason it didn't work out and I could only focus my attention to one area, we need a starting pitcher and we need a closer. If I had to live with the lineup now with Ozuna in it, I could. If you went and got me another bat, I'd be ecstatic. And I mean a bat. Like I said, I know some people like Longoria. I wouldn't have an issue with Longoria. Is he an upgrade over Jerko? Maybe. But I'm not focused on that. Okay, that's my point on the whole Longoria thing. Now, if they're like, okay, well, if you want Archer and Colome, it's going to cost you these prospects, and you're going to have to take Longoria back, I'd be like, okay, done. I will do that. It isn't that I don't like Longoria. I don't think he should be the focus as far as the quote-unquote upgrade. Now, again, these are lots of wheels turning, and I understand how things work. On that note, so let's look at it hypothetically the other way. If you told me, Jim, you can only have Archer and Colome, or you can go get Manny or Josh Donaldson, I'm going Archer Colome, because I think with Ozuna and Archer and Colome added to the team we currently have now, I'm ready to take our chances. Steve-O, your thoughts?
I am a firm believer in the winning formula to baseball is good pitching, great defense, and timely hitting. That's my philosophy.
It's that easy, huh?
That easy. But that's what you need. So I would venture to say that I want to fulfill the good pitching part. Do we need great pitching? No, but I think we need a couple of more arms. I would love to have another starter. I would love to have a closer. I would love to be upgraded. I think hopefully our Jose Oquendo will do that for us, continue to improve our defense. I think Ozuna improves our defense out there, right? Benji said Gold Glover, right? So he improves our defense. And then I think we've shown even last year that we had enough hitting. We just need better timely hitting if we don't get that extra bat. So I'm with you, Jim. Starting pitching, a closer, and if Santa is really, really nice to me this year, I want another bat.
Yeah, Benji, your thoughts?
Well, I think same way. I always said it. You know, you need a starter that's making a 1-2 punch at whoever. Like if you're playing the Cubs and Martinez and whoever it is, Archer or whoever comes in, that'll be an interesting series. Right now, I'm good with one bat. I think we'll be great. I think we'll be okay. Right now, we will not be okay if we add another bat and we don't fix the bullpen. We will not be okay, just saying that. So I think the bullpen help and a one starter is what I go for, 100%.
I you know, this is going to lead us into a part of the pitching, and I want to say that I want to thank our friends over at the Innovated Companies. Our Twitter questions are always brought to you by Innovated Electric. They handle new construction, panel changes, full service upgrades. They do the replacement fixtures and devices, full service department, exterior, interior lighting, energy management systems, anything you need. Just another arm underneath the Innovated Companies umbrella. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Give Randy and Stephanie an opportunity for your business. Besides being a second generation craftsman, as I said earlier, he's a wonderful human being and he takes his job very seriously. Let's get to before we get to the Twitter poll, I want to remind everybody, it looks like we're going to have an exciting, I believe in my heart, we're not done. Lots of things coming. I think we're going to see a majorly upgraded Cardinal team. My guess is you're going to want to see this majorly upgraded Cardinal team on opening day. It's a holiday. Your man Benji has already told you, take off work, take off school. He'll handle it. Have the principal call him. Have your boss call him. He'll handle it. But you're like, okay, that's cool. I know Benji's handling that part. How do I go to the game, Jim? It's going to be the hottest ticket in town. It's already hard to get opening day. How do I get him? Let me tell you how you get him. You call this guy, Steve Flowers, with a mortgage question. Any mortgage question at what number, Steve?
618-655-0483.
You just call him, ask him any question, and you're registered to win the tickets. You fill it, and then, you know, after the conversation, you're like, you know what? Here, take my information and just tell me what you can do for me. You know, you're going to tell him, hey, no promises. I'm probably not going to do anything, but just let me know. And you get, what, 5 more entries, right? Right, Steve-O?
Yeah, five more.
Now, if it all works out, which is not always the case, right? I mean, it's a big decision. You get 20 more entries if you actually do the loan. But here's the cool part. Tell your friends to call him and talk to him about mortgage. You get 5 more entries if they mention your name when they call. And then they're registered the same way. So it's a really cool deal. Let's hear from Steve and his wonderful wife, Emily, and their wonderful mortgage company that has taken this area by storm. And when we come back, I'm going to have our exit poll here. Innovated Companies, Birds on the Bat, Twitter poll.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483. Or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Great stuff, Steve-O. Really appreciate you and Emily and your continued support. One last time on that phone number to get registered for the opening day tickets.
618-655-0483.
Okay, guys, here's our Twitter poll question brought to you by the Innovated Companies and the umbrella arm of this thing, Heated and Cooling. Give them an opportunity for your business, Innovated Heated and Cooling. Take your pick. Who do you want in the ninth inning next year for the Cardinals? Colome, Davis, Addison Reed, or other? Steve-O, you're first.
God, do I have to choose?
Yeah, you got to choose. What do you mean?
I think Colome's the most logical. I think he's probably, not saying low-hanging fruit, but I think he might be the guy that's we could probably get the easiest.
Wow.
So I'll go with him.
Okay. Benji, your thoughts?
I like all the names, but if I have a choice, I will pick Wade Davis. That will be my guy.
Yeah, I like Wade Davis. I went with Colome for one reason. I just feel like there's something big brewing there, bigger than Colome. If it wasn't, why haven't we done the deal? So I went with Colome. That's my conspiracy theory. If we were just getting Colome, why haven't we done it yet? See, I really think there's something bigger brewing with Tampa. In my heart, I hope it's Archer. My gut tells me it probably has something to do with Longoria and our attachment to both Machado and Donaldson is holding it up to see if we realistically have a chance. And if we don't, we turn back to them. And then it might be a bigger deal that might also include Archer. So I think we have a lot of irons in the fire. So I went with Colome. The Twitter poll hugely went with Colome, 65%. 23% went with Davis, 7% with Reed. Makes sense, although he has closed, and he's been a very good bullpen arm. I've even said on here, I want a guy that's done it. So believe me, I am. If it was Colome or Davis, you wouldn't hear any excuses from me. Only 5% said other. I'm assuming Greg Holland or somewhere along that line. But the reality of it is, I want an established guy there. And again, special thanks to our friends at Innovated Heating and Cooling. Don't forget them for your new construction needs, full replacement HVAC systems, residential, commercial, full service department, refrigeration and walk-in coolers, fully licensed, bonded, insured. InnovatedCompanies.com. Guys, before we go, as I look at all these available players, and are you guys surprised that, and I mean, we've heard their names mentioned, but man, there's a couple of pretty good players that have really been backburnered by these trades. Eric Hosmer and J.D. Martinez. Are you surprised, Benji?
What happened to them? I've been away from the internet. There's no internet in Puerto Rico. So did something happen over there with them?
Nothing. That's kind of the thing. I mean, you know, Hosmer, they're saying. Go ahead.
It's brewing winter meetings. I bet you they'll come out with a deal or maybe a week after or so. Somebody's going to step up and do these guys good. You watch. I don't mind a Hosmer in our team now. I mean, that would be your guy behind Ozuna third and, you know, him fourth or something like that. You know, that would be your guy. But I think they're brewing something up. You know, they'll be all right. And then they're not in a hurry. They're just trying to get the most money they can. So they're not in a hurry. But something will happen.
I know something's going to happen. It just seems like, you know, we've talked about it on this show. You can have them. There is no trade to be made here. They are open for business. I mean, you know, Wade Davis, that's the thing. You know, I guess, is he our fallback if we don't get Colome? I mean, why hasn't Wade Davis signed? I know there's, you know, it always kills me how when a guy's been as good as he's been, you start hearing reasons not to sign him, like with Davis. All of a sudden, well, boy, there's got to be something wrong with him. Why aren't the Cubs re-signing him? They just had him for two. Look how good he was. How can they not re-sign Davis? You know?
Well, let me tell you guys something from behind the scenes. The Angels didn't sign me because I was didn't sign me because I was too much money. So they forgot what I did for them all those years, and I was a number one catching prospect out there. And they forgot all those good years that I sacrificed to say to me that I was too much money for them to sign. So that happens, man. A lot of teams get backed up and say, hey, man, Hosmer, $90 million. Oh, man, that's not going to do it. $150 million is going to do it. You know, things like that. So I think that happens a lot.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird. I mean, you know, these are a couple of guys that can be had. It just, you know, relief pitching kind of held up the market. Now that's trades. And listen, when you have the polarizing names of Stanton and Machado, I get the fact that that's part of the holdup, right? Like, you know, it only makes sense for these guys. But, you know, to that extent too, Benji, is the money that's being asked by some of these guys, is that a big part of it too? I mean, we hear that J.D. Martinez wants $200 million, and then we hear Scott Boras sent out a 75-page thing saying that Jake Arrieta is worth $200 million. I mean, that's part of it too, I would have to assume, right?
It is part of it, but it's just the owners and the GMs. If they're willing to pay, we cannot do anything, even if the guys don't worth that much. We saw what happened to A-Rod, and he was offered two times. He was offered $250 million. He's a player. Is he going to say no? Heck no. He's going to take it. So that's what I mean. If you have an owner that is willing to pay that, you can have an agent say, hey, J.D. Martinez is worth $300 million. Is it true? We don't know. Is it true for us? No. But you might have a bite, you know. You might have a bite from a GM or ownership, you know, and they, what do? You got to take it.
Last question before we go. Manny Machado, we have to talk about Manny, right? Because Manny's Manny, right? I mean, he's a real deal, right? Like, I think the Cardinals are a perfect fit for him. I've said 1,000 times over, I think you need to get him here to have any chance to sign him next year if that's what you really want to do. Cardinals have shown they're willing to spend that kind of money on a player, so let's see. But the reality of it is, if you had any chance of getting him, I think you got to get him here. That's number one. But the second part of that is, I think you got to get him here. The one thing that I have no doubt is that Cardinal Nation will step up and do their job. That they've always done that. The atmosphere, the fans, the love, the packed houses every night, all that. If the front office does their job and they win, that's why I think you have a legitimate shot. But let's talk about Manny Machado and his availability and if it's real or not. We all know that the owner loves him. The owner has always said he could not see himself trading Manny. But now they're trying to be realistic. They know now with Stanton going to New York, is it even realistic for them to compete with those teams in their division, with Boston, with New York? So they've got to be looking at this going, we got to do what's best for Baltimore too. And if we know Manny's not going to resign here because we can't afford to give him what it's going to cost, we got to do something. So he becomes available to receive offers. Some of the ones that came in, you know, everybody was excited when we found out the Cardinals made an offer. And then a guy tweets out last night that while the Cardinals have made a really good offer, the Chicago White Sox have made a strong offer. So I'm sitting here going, what are the White Sox doing? Do you guys believe, like, I'll start with you, Benji. Do you believe for 1 minute that the White Sox are seriously in on this?
I think so. I think so. They have a very, very good chance to get him, you know, and like you said before, they got the prospects, but are they committed to win? It's what the biggest question is here. Are they committed to win and bring him here into Chicago, and what are they going to do after that? You know, that's the big question. I don't think Machado would love to go there. I think Machado would love to just go play somewhere where, you know, like a winning organization or something like that. So, but it's possible. We just got to wait, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That one's weird. And you know, and
I'm not sure if it does because I'm not sure if it's weird, Jim. I mean, if you're looking at them, they're there and they have Cleveland, who obviously has been tops of the division for the last couple of years. And you got the up and coming Twins there, right? So are they sitting there looking at it and saying, hey, this division can be had? Give us a shot in the playoffs. You know,
I don't know. They've got one of the best farm systems in baseball. It's like number two, and if you go look at it, it's a who's who of the top prospects. But the reality of it is, I find it, listen, there's a part of me that says I find it hard to believe that they would trade into Chicago, knowing Chicago could then, if it doesn't work out, flip him to New York. And that's not what Baltimore wants, is for him to wind up in New York. But the reality of it is, he's going to be a free agent in a year anyway. He might wind up in New York. So what's, you know, you got to do what's best for your organization. I'm not quite sure they would just give him to New York in a trade, no matter what they offered him, because then it's almost like you're handing him to him, like Boston did with Babe Ruth back in the day. But the truth of the matter is, it just seems odd to me. That's an organization that went all young, traded away players. But I did say this. I guess I could see this. If they really think they could pair him up with Abreu, they've got Moncada up now. Avisail Garcia finally came around and did what they expected. So you have those four guys in your lineup, and then you add the starting pitching that they have coming up, and then they've got the best outfield, number one or two best outfield prospect in baseball in Jimenez. If he works out, which is always an F with prospects, but maybe they think they could do this and show him, hey, we're going to be a team, a dynasty-type team for 5, 6, 7 years. So, hey, stay here. Who knows? It just seemed odd to me. Benji, I guess at the end of the day, you should never count anybody out when it comes to stuff like this, especially in business, right?
Oh, man, I've seen so many that your mouth just stays wide open like, what the heck just happened? And I've seen so many of those. But you can't be surprised for any of that, man. And like Machado, the White Sox, it wouldn't surprise me either. So, I mean, and think about it, like all the things that you just said right now, and you get Machado, you become a legit team, you know?
Oh, for sure.
So, I don't know.
I think it could happen, but I don't see it happening. I think that other teams, that winning teams, are, you know, they're going to try it.
Well, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I know this. I'm excited about the front office today. Just like on Monday, I didn't like the moves they made Monday. I love the move they made yesterday. I'm happy for Stephen Piscotty to go home. The only thing that really matters here is this guy's going home to be near his family. But at the end of the day, you know, an unpopular thing to say is it was a good move for the Cardinals too. I mean, they had an issue with blocking guys, and this thing works out really for everybody. I think it was a good move, and kudos to the Cardinals for making it happen. You can't tell me they couldn't have maybe moved him somewhere else and gotten a little bit more. So kudos to them for doing it. I like where we're at today. I like what we've done so far. But I sure like where I think we're heading. And I guess by Monday, maybe we'll have more to talk about. We'll have to see. But I want to thank everybody for all their participation within the show. Obviously, Steve and Emily Flowers with their wonderful mortgage company that's providing those two tickets for opening day. Don't forget all of our friends under the Innovated Companies umbrella, the Innovated Construction, Heating and Cooling, and the Electric teams. Special thanks to Randy and Stephanie for their continued support of the show. Guys, don't forget our social media outlets. We need you guys to check us out on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat. Once you've liked our Facebook page, click Invite Your Friends. If you would invite all your Cardinal fan friends, that would be great. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Please support all the social media groups that are sharing our show. They have great content. They do a great job across the board. Let's start with RallySquirrel.com. Nate McHenry, friend of the show. We do the Rally Squirrel Club podcast, premium podcast with him on Mondays. Awesome opportunity. RallySquirrel.com. Check it out. Wonderful prizes provided by his friends and associates. You guys are missing out on that one. It's less than the price of a cup of coffee per month. Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. You guys heard from Chris Lawless on one of the last shows. Great guy. Big Cardinal fan. Love him. Love everything he stands for. Chris, still thinking about you and your fiance, my man. You guys enjoy some time to yourselves this weekend. I know you've been real busy with all the trade talk. Art City Sports, Mick Light, thank you for your continued support. Cardinals Freaks, been with us since the beginning. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite, everything STL Sports, all the great Facebook groups that allow us to post. Thank you so much. LineupMedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Special thanks to Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen for all they do. My good friend and yours, Benji Molina, that comes to you every week on the M4byYachty.com hotline. I hope you've checked out M4byYachty.com for all of your Christmas stuff. They've got some awesome things on there. You guys know where that money goes. It goes to help battered women and children and all of Yachty's charitable work that he does. Make sure you check it out, M4byYachty.com. You guys saw yesterday our friend with the Cardinals, Selena Allen. Her sister is heavily involved in Tsunami Waves, Carlos Martinez's foundation. We posted some stuff yesterday. Check it out. I'm telling you, the coolest thing about it, you never know. Carlos Martinez may show up they play washers and just show up at some place you're at. And you're like, what's Carlos Martinez doing here? It's an awesome thing. Check it out, Tsunami Waves. You can find it on our Facebook page. For Steve-O, for Benji Molina, this is Two Birds on a Bat. Let's go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
Go, Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.